Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon. We want to welcome you to today's show, The American College Experience. My name is Jason Haynes. I'm the host of the program today, and I'm also the Chief Executive Officer of the UR Tennis Network. We bring you exciting shows each week and cover a lot of areas in regards to tennis. Many of the shows I hope that you have had a chance to listen to. On Monday, we bring you Parenting Aces with Lisa Stone out of Atlanta, Georgia. Wednesday, American Tennis with Chuck Creasy. It comes on before my show at 11 Central Standard Time, my show, which you're listening to now. And then Saturday's show is Infinite Tennis with Bill Patton. We also have a show, Minorities in Tennis with Alex Chan, which does come on Saturdays as well. So excited that you've decided to join us today. This show is being broadcasted as a taped show, and I think you'll understand why as we progress through this. Today's guest is an exciting guest for me, is Dr. Dave Porter. Dr. Porter is from the BYU Hawaii, that's Brigham Young University, Hawaii. He's a very successful coach, and after today's show, I think you'll understand successful doesn't really hit the area of his nature. He's been very successful in his tenure out at BYU Hawaii, and you'll discover how successful as the show progresses along as we give him a chance to discuss his program, the school, and what he's been able to accomplish in his tenure at the university. As many of you know, we have been broadcasting for about 3 years now. We have, in the recent months, been promoting Inside College Tennis. That show is being hosted by Tony Menes, a former coach at LSU. The first week they covered the TCU program. This week they're covering the Tulane program. I'm excited to let you know that during its premiere on the Tennis Channel with the TCU program, that they garnered 90,000 viewers. That's right, it premiered in 90,000 homes on the Tennis Channel. I'm speaking to Tony, and he let me know that it was a success, and I want to thank everyone that watched that show that helped make it a success. We all knew that college tennis was a great story, and we love the idea that the Tennis Channel has broadcasted and decided to pick up this show, and we hope that they will continue to pick up other shows that promote college tennis. We hope that they'll also expand this show into the small college world as well, as when many of us know there are so many great tennis stories out there at Division I. There are also so many great stories out there at the small college level as well. This second show highlights Tulane University and their successful effort to rebuild their program after Hurricane Katrina wiped that university and the tennis programs completely off the map. I was watching a little bit of it before I got on the air tonight, and it was a very good show. It does rebroadcast Sunday at 6:30 a.m. and also at 12:30 p.m., and that's Eastern time. Another story I picked up, and we're going to have this gentleman on the air. I visited with him via the phone and confirmed it with the text. We're going to have him later on. But just a phenomenal story out of Lewis and Clark State, which is in Lewiston, Idaho. Head coach Kai Fong recently, and you know, picked up this story off the ITA Tennis website, donated a kidney in 2012. And what's remarkable about this story is that Coach Fong started a living donor kidney chain. And what happened was is once his living kidney was donated, he started with 11 people across the U.S. to receive kidneys. He originally kept it private, and now recently he has wanted to share his story, hoping that others will consider donating a kidney. And we're going to have Coach Fong on so that he can share his story and let everyone know out there how important it is that this idea continues on. Want to let you know that this weekend is the ITA kickoff weekend. That's right, January 24th through the 27th, 15 sites on both the men and the women. 60 Division I teams will be in action, 4 teams at each site. These teams will get 2 matches each. This follows a draft that was held in June. There will be some sites that are men and women both. Some sites will just be men and some sites will just be women. The exciting part about this for the teams involved is that if you win both matches, you will automatically get to go to the national team indoor February 14th through the 17th, and this year that indoor is being hosted by Texas A&M University in Houston, Texas. So that's very exciting. The spring season has sprung, and the ITA is very excited about getting this thing going, as many college coaches and players and fans are as well, despite the cold weather in most of America as it has been. You cannot hold college tennis back. One last thing here before I give Coach Porter a call, and I know he's probably out there wondering why I haven't called yet. Many of you know Eric Buderak, Gustavus Adolphus, out there doing real well at the Australian Open, and we want to wish him well. I'll bring you up to date next week, but he's beat Rafter, Hewitt, the Bryans. We want to wish him well. I'm going to go ahead and give Coach Porter a call just to make sure that he's over there in Hawaii. Uh-oh, we got an interesting situation here. Hang on just a second. Let's see here. Uh-oh, let's see here. And try this again.
The number you have dialed has not been recognized. Please try again.
Uh-oh. Let's try this. Let's see here. this is something else. Fine, Coach Porter. How are you?
Good.
Glad to hear you. I had some trouble getting you on the phone, so I hope this works out. Very excited to hear you today. How have you been doing out there in Hawaii?
Oh, it's perfect out here. No worries.
Well, you know, I'm very excited to get to listen to you today. And I think that it's going to be a great show. You know, you are one of my favorite all-time small college tennis coaches. And, you know, you run a great program out there at BYU Hawaii. But I always start off my show, Coach. There are going to be people that listen to my program that have no idea who you are. So if you could just take a moment and introduce yourself.
Okay. Well, my name is Dave Porter, and I actually grew up in the Intermountain section. Most of my junior years were in Utah, although we traveled a lot, so I lived in Europe for one of those years. And started playing tennis at a reasonably young age. One of my aunts was the state champion, women's open singles champion in the state of Utah, so she sort of got my brother and I started in tennis. And we picked it up, and I played tennis and baseball, did all the things that all the kids did back then. And one year, I was a pitcher on my little league baseball team, and I guess I hit too many batters, and so the coach said, "No, you just play shortstop. You don't get to pitch anymore. You're hitting too many kids. They're afraid of you, and the kids are crying when you pitch." So I said, "Well, I can't pitch. I forget. I'm just going to play tennis all the time." So I guess the fact that I wasn't a very good pitcher really helped me get started in tennis. And I played a lot in the juniors and did reasonably well, and won a few state tournaments, and ended up also playing basketball all those years, and went to BYU in Utah on a basketball scholarship. And at the end of my freshman year, I went on a mission for our church, the LDS Church, to New England, and when I came back, I felt that I should start playing tennis again, so the next year I played both basketball and tennis, and I found that they had recruited better basketball players. I was getting less and less playing time, and that I was enjoying tennis more, so after that I just finished my college years playing tennis only. I lived in Utah, coached high school tennis for about 6 years, and was a faculty member at BYU and ran an exercise program for the university, and then came over here to Hawaii as assistant professor and assistant basketball coach. And when I got here, after 2 years, I just thought, you know, I'm in paradise. We don't have a tennis team. I think I'd like to start a tennis program. So I made that request, and they honored it, and we started in the fall of 1984, and we were given $1,000 for the entire budget for everything, travel, equipment, uniforms, balls, shoes, strings, which wasn't much, and started from there and did well enough that we finally got a little bit more funding and have had some reasonable success.
Now, Coach, I love tennis coaches, very humble, very modest, and I appreciate that as we go through this. You know, in my research, in your background, when you came to BYU Hawaii, you weren't a half bad basketball coach.
Well, I appreciate that. I was an assistant coach to Ted Chittister, and the first couple of years that the school won 20 games for those first 2 years, and I don't think that it had as much to do with me as we had a good core of really talented athletes that did well, and I enjoyed it, and I loved basketball, and I still do, but I just had this, something inside of me wasn't fulfilled, and I was right here in paradise where it was wonderful weather every day, and I just wanted to get back out on the courts, and so was very fortunate that we had a president who felt like tennis was important and allowed us to get a program started. And a woman handled the women's team at that time named Donna Chun, a professor, and she did that for about 8 years. And then I had an interim year where I had one of my former men's players, Derek Galley, who coached the women's team, and I sort of supervised both programs. And then after that, I took over the women and have had them ever since.
Now, before I let you get too far away from these other coaching duties, I understand you were a volleyball coach as well?
Well, I helped coach the volleyball team a couple of years, but couldn't bring them to a championship. We lost in the final for the national championship one of the years that I was helping coach, and I think they had me there more for fitness and conditioning and motivation. Wouldn't say that I was a part of the brain trust for volleyball, but I enjoy playing.
Coach, now we're going to spend a lot of time talking about your program and what you've done there, but BYU Hawaii, a lot of people have no idea about the school and where it's located, so can you kind of help fill us in about that?
Sure. We're located on the North Shore of Oahu, so anyone that knows anything about surfing knows where we are. Every year, about 5 to 12 miles from our campus is where the three Triple Crown of Surfing World Championships are held, the Bonsai Pipeline and Waimea Bay, of course, where they have the Eddie Aikau, where they don't even hold it unless it's over 25 feet, which, as you know, they measure that from the back of the wave, so that's a 50-foot face. And so we're very close to the best surfing in the world, and in fact, when they rated the universities for surfers to go to school, we were rated the best school if you wanted to surf because you have the best location. There's some others in California that were considered very good as well, but we were number one. So we're in a beautiful location out on the North Shore, about 45 minutes from Honolulu, so close enough to go in and really get the advantage and the benefit of a big city without being so close that we have to deal with the traffic and all the tourism and some of the other things that go along with big cities. We're in a community called Laie, spelled L-A-I-E. The Polynesians, the Hawaiians pronounce their vowels a little differently, so the E is A and the I is E, so it's Laie. And we have a student population right now between 2,600 and 3,000, which is small. We're planning on growing over the next 5 to 10 years to 5,000 students. But right now, we've been, most of the time that I've been here, we've been between 2,000 and 2,500 students, which is a good number. A faculty-student ratio is very good. As a full professor in exercise science, I teach a lot of the upper division sports science classes and rarely have a class with more than 25, and most of the time the number's between 15 and 20. So it's a good student-teacher ratio. Anyway, it's just a beautiful place to be, just absolutely beautiful.
Now, Coach, besides the obvious point of it being Hawaii, I mean, why would a student want to come to BYU Hawaii? I mean, what are the degrees that stand out there as far as an academic standard for a kid there?
Well, I believe that, I'm not sure because, of course, they change from year to year, but I don't think we've ever been out of the top 20, and we're usually in the top 10, and some years we're in the top 5 of the nation as far as hotel, restaurant, and tourism management. So because we're in an area where the majority or a big portion of the economy is based on tourism, we have a lot of students, programs, and connections in the tourist industry. So whether they want to go into restaurant or hotel management or travel management, this is an outstanding area for that. There are five four-year universities in Hawaii, the University of Hawaii, which is a Division I program, and then four Division II programs. And of all of those five schools, we have the highest percentage of our pre-professional students get into medical school on the first attempt. So we have a very good biology department, pre-professional program on getting people, whether it's into medical school or physician's assistant school or chiropractic school, physical therapy. We have an excellent preparation for those types of students. And we have a good business department. And many places in the country have good business schools, but ours being 2,500 miles from Los Angeles toward Asia, we have a lot of connections in the Asian Rim area specifically, so we have a lot of interest in our business department as a result of students and businesses that want the connection with the United States and yet are looking toward Asia, not toward Europe. So in that sense, it's pretty strong in that area, and we feel, and I feel, that our sports science area is solid. I mean, it's not as good as some programs, but it's a solid program. It's a good preparation program. But if I had to rank them, I would probably rank our hotel, restaurant, and travel management maybe near the top, and pre-professional program of biology would be very high, as well as a business school.
And Coach, you guys are directly affiliated with BYU, the main campus, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, the church Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints sponsors 3 4-year schools, BYU in Provo, Utah, which has about 32 or 33,000 students. They're the ones that are always playing bowl football games at the end of the year. There's a school in Idaho that doesn't have intercollegiate athletics but has about 15,000 students. And then we have almost 3,000 students, but we do have an athletic program.
Yes, sir. Now, you've been at BYU Hawaii for 20 years. You've coached the men and the women all 20 years. Is that correct?
Actually, I've been here since 1982, so I've been here for 32 years.
32 years. Sorry,
and
coach.
I have coached the men's team since 1984 and the women's team since 1994. I've had both teams.
I see. Sorry about that. Now,
that's all right.
Now, as the story goes, I mean, and as I tried to do my research on you, you've had one of the most dominant Division II programs in all of sports.
Well, we've had very good success. Our men's team has only won 2 national championships, but our women has won 9, and since we joined the Division II in 1999, I think, we've probably only lost maybe 1 or 2 matches other than at the national tournament in those 15 years. So we won, obviously, a bunch of national championships since that period of time. And we've lost in the finals like we have the last 2 years. A couple of times we lost in the semifinals. So we haven't lost too many regular season matches. But, you know, that can change as a coach from year to year. And right now I've got one girl we're hoping will clear for eligibility and 2 others that would play at the top that are not going to be eligible to play this year. So it's kind of hard. And even though we have some great practices, I could be using 3 girls in the starting lineup that wouldn't be starting if all the players that were here in school were eligible. So,
yes, sir. Now, your campus, how many courts do you have?
We have 9, and they're all lit, and we have they're all completely windscreen, and we have a set of bleachers inside the fences, inside the windscreens on 8 of the 9 courts.
Yes, sir. And your travel, now, how does that work for you as far as, you know, you're on an island and you have to travel to the mainland sometimes? I mean, how do you coordinate and do all this?
Well, it's a challenge. It's a challenge to be away from classes as much as we need to, especially because we have actually something that your listeners might be interested in is 50% of our student body is international. So we have one of the highest percentage of international students of any undergraduate program in the country, and that's because of where we're located and what the mission of the school is. So we have a huge percentage of students from Asia and the Asian Rim. We have a huge number of students from the South Pacific Islands, and then we have some from, you know, Europe and South America, but most of them are from the islands of the South Pacific and the Asian Rim, and because of that, it's a little more challenging for them to miss class. They have to put a little bit more effort into their reading and writing work because English is their second language. So it is a challenge when we have to travel. This year we're actually bringing the men's team down into your area. We're going to fly into Dallas and play some matches there and out in Abilene and up in Wichita Falls and against some of the better Division II teams in Texas. We're going to take both teams to Los Angeles and play a lot of our conference teams. We have 14 teams in the conference, one of the biggest in Division II, especially with the addition of the new teams from the NAI that jumped into our conference, like Azusa Pacific and Fresno Pacific. They're very, very solid programs. So it is a challenge when we travel, but the girls will take a trip to the San Francisco area. Both teams will go into L.A., and the boys will go to Texas. So they'll be out of school about 2 weeks during the semester just playing matches.
Yes, sir. Now, As you've traveled through this time with both teams, you've gone from NAIA to Division II. When you started there at BYU Hawaii, you were an NAIA program. And what's the difference in between the two? So you can help our listeners understand. You know, you started as an NAIA program and then moved up. What was the big difference from athletic programs?
I think there's a couple of things. In differences. One is the NAI would allow a university to participate in athletics and only have one team. So a university might only sponsor men's tennis, and that would be the only sport they have at the entire university. To participate in the NCAA Division II, you must have a minimum of 10 different sports or teams that you sponsor, and then of course for Division I, I think that number is a minimum of 18. So currently we have 11 teams that we sponsor, and that's one of the reasons that we switched was we wanted to have more teams in a conference that was near us that we could compete against without having to travel quite so far. And I think one of the other reasons that we switched was just we found, not to take anything away from the NAI, which I had a wonderful experience with, but we found that the playing field maybe wasn't quite as level as it is with the NCAA because of the NCAA's oversight seemed to be a little more consistent and aggressive in terms of making sure that everyone played by the same rules.
No, I can understand that, Coach. Now, in your days at the NAIA level, and I remember this, you competed in the days where they had the 256 draws for the singles and the 128 draws for the doubles. I mean, that had to have been something to compete in and watch as you went through it for your athletes.
Well, it was, and I've been very fortunate to have a number of very good players in recent years from China. But the first player that I had from China actually won that tournament in singles and 256 draw and lost in the finals of doubles. So he played 15 matches in 6 days, and the intensity of the matches got better as the week went on, of course, because the players were stronger. So it was a very grueling event, and it was a challenging as a coach because there's no site that could take that many players, and so you were playing at maybe four different locations, and it required you really not to be able to coach all your players, and that made it challenging in one respect, but it allowed you as a coach to have to teach them and train them as to how to compete, how to play without you right there all the time.
Hey, Coach, I have to ask, I mean, that's kind of unheard of in today's championship-type fields. Was that a fun time, or can you was just kind of a hysterical performance type of an atmosphere in that arena, or what was that?
Well, there were a lot of advantages to it, and there were certainly some disadvantages. The tournaments that we play now are certainly much less physically challenging because, as you know, and especially in Division II, we still give 1 point for every doubles match. So if we sweep the doubles, we will play 6 singles matches, and if we win 2 of them, the other 4 don't even complete their match, and that's all that they play that day. Whereas when you're playing at 256 singles and 128 doubles, you're going to play 3 matches a day for the whole week, and you're playing 2 out of 3 sets. We used to play 2 out of 3 sets for the doubles as well. So you're playing 2 out of 3 sets, 3 matches a day versus a pro set of doubles and possibly only part of a 2 out of 3 set singles match, and that's all you have for that day. So physically it was much more grueling, but it was also kind of exciting, and it gave a school that didn't really have a chance for the team title but had 1 or 2 outstanding players to really demonstrate the skill of those players, get some recognition for the school, use that recognition of individual success from which they can recruit for future years, and it was for a program that didn't have the money to get 6 good players but could get 1 or 2 good players. they got some recognition. So there were some real advantages to it, but there were also some downsides, and that was that it was grueling and physical, and you had players dropping all the time because of the exhaustion and heat, depending on the weather at that particular year or venue. So, you know, there were some ups and downs. I certainly liked the NAI format, and we were successful at it, and I also really enjoy what we're doing now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, I'm looking at things. It seems like your current records, and I haven't added up your matches that you played this year, but it looks like, according to your website, 531 wins and only 16 losses for a 97% winning percentage. Then it looks like you've had, and I couldn't add it up, Coach, how many undefeated seasons have you had there at BYU Hawaii on the women's side?
Oh, I don't know. We've been fortunate to have a bunch. I don't think we lost any in the years that we won the national tournament, so probably nine.
Let's see. And since you moved up to Division II, what I think I could figure out was 380 wins and only four losses for a 98.96% winning percentage. You've had win streaks of 67 matches, 103, 88, and then 130 matches, Coach.
Well, I guess that's